Good morning, everybody. This morning and this evening, I'm down to speak, and I thought I'd take the opportunity to do a little mini-series, in many ways, looking at two aspects of forgiveness. And so this morning, we're looking at this passage in John. And at the start of it, the door is locked. No one comes in, no one goes out. There's a mixture of emotions, and thoughts were running all over the place. What on earth is going on? And that's where we find the disciples. And fear starts to grip its cold fingers around each and every one of them. So the door is kept locked. Because they'd already seen what the Jewish leaders had done to their master. They'd arrested him. They'd held a trial that was just a sham. And they crucified him like some common thief. And so the disciples fled. But Jesus had never been predictable. And after the Sabbath, the day of rest where no work's permitted, they had reports that he was alive. Some of them went to check it out for themselves. The tomb was empty. So they quickly got together everyone that they could find that had known him and that had followed him. And they went to this room and they locked the door. No doubt they were already under suspicion that they were the ones who had stolen his body. What was going to happen to them now? What could they do? Where could they go? Because surely the same fate of their leader was about to be put upon them. What are we going to do now? How would you answer that question? In the trouble and the pain that we can often face, that some of us are facing now, what do we do now? Then a voice says, "Peace be with you." Not just any voice, a voice they had recognized, a voice they had followed for 3 years, a voice like no other. It was their master's voice, the voice of Jesus. Peace. Of everything else that they had, peace was not one of the things that they were even probably thinking of. You can't have peace when you think that someone is going to arrest you, that someone might even decide to crucify you. You can't have peace when your world seems to be falling apart around your shoulders. Or could you? I wonder for you this morning, what does peace actually look like? Maybe it's something that is a far off, distant dream. But in the midst of everything, you can know peace. Because for the disciples and for us today, it steps into the room in the person of the risen Jesus. And it shows God's love to us. Jesus could have stood there and said, "Where on earth were you when I needed you? What are you doing behind this locked door? Why didn't you stand up for me? I told you what was going to happen. You promised me so much. And when the crunch came, you'd gone." But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Instead, he greets them and he encourages them so that in an instant, their fear is turned into joy because they are now encountering face to face the risen Jesus, proven by his wounds. See, my hands and the wound in my side. It's me. I'm right here in front of you. This is the peace that I can bring you. Folks, when we encounter the risen Jesus for ourselves, we can know peace and joy, whatever our circumstances are. A peace that passes all understanding, that the world can't even begin to comprehend. Because we know whatever it is we face, whatever it is we hide from, Jesus is still there with us. Jesus, who is the conqueror of death, the saviour of the world, is right there alongside me and you. So I imagine that at this point, the disciples start jumping around and hugging each other and giving each other high fives and going, "Yes, come on, Jesus is back with us." And then he repeats what he just said to them. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I'm now sending you." Well, everything's all right. Jesus is here. He's alive. He's been restored and he's healed, and our relationship with God, he's restored our relationship with God because he was sent by the Father. We're okay here in this room. We're safe. Jesus is with us. But wait a minute. What did he just say? He's sending us out? But we've been sitting in this room because it's safe. The door's locked. There are people out there who are trying to kill us. There are people out there who don't understand what's going on. There are people out there who are dead against us. But Jesus wanted to send them out. And as we as a church have been looking about going beyond our walls, Jesus still wants to send us out into a world that a few days ago in this story had denied him and killed him. Because Jesus still wants them to know, as much as we know, that there is peace. That in a world that talks about peace but fights to try and gain it, that God through Jesus wants to bring about his peace. Not just to the world, but into each and every heart. And so in an instant, when they see Jesus, it starts to dawn on them that if Jesus has beaten death, that if he really has come to save, then whatever problems, whatever threats are out there are nothing compared to knowing the risen Lord Jesus. Knowing that wherever they go and wherever we go, he is already there with us. That there's now a mission for them to complete. They're to take over Jesus' ministry, his work, and everything that came with it. But that actually he's going to be the one that makes it possible. Because the next thing Jesus does is he breathes on them and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Receive my Spirit." Because they are not to do it in their own strength, but his. Whatever we face, we're not to do it in our own strength, but in his. But first, we've got to receive from him. We've got to receive his forgiveness and his peace. Because we can't go out there talking about it if we haven't received it for ourselves. And Jesus said on the cross, "Father, forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing." Forgiveness often is no easy thing. It often comes at a cost, especially if you know you've been wronged. But folks, that's why Jesus has poured out his Holy Spirit, so that each of us can know his strength. It gives us the power of discernment, of knowledge that we can see things from God's point of view. That hopefully we can start to see the bigger picture. So that we can know the presence and the peace for Jesus ourselves. But it doesn't just stop with us. It's his peace is for everyone. And so his disciples are not to keep it to themselves, but be the carriers and the examples of his peace to all nations. And it goes on today. Friends, we are here today because those disciples turned the key in the door and were willing to step out, knowing what they would face, knowing that for some of them it may mean their lives, but knowing the forgiveness and the peace of the risen Jesus was with them wherever they went, whatever they faced. But I'm sure you know, as well as I've known over the years, that acts of forgiveness are extremely costly. And I just want to share a couple of stories with you this morning that show two sides of what forgiveness looks like. One of the most celebrated of the last century was that of Gordon Wilson, who was standing at the war memorial in Enniskillen for the annual Remembrance Day service in 1987, when an IRA bomb exploded. 11 people were killed on that day, including Mr. Wilson's daughter, Marie. The world was touched when, in a voice cracking with grief, he told how he clutched her hand as they laid beneath the rubble. And then he said, "I have lost my daughter and we shall miss her. But I bear no ill will. I bear no grudge. Dirty sort of talk is not going to bring her back to life. She was a great wee lassie. She loved her profession. She was a pet. And she's gone." But for others, forgiveness can be too costly. And for them, peace extremely hard to find. Reverend Julie Nicholson was announcing her intention to resign as vicar of St. Aidan's Church in Bristol. She said, "It's very difficult to stand behind an altar and lead people in words of peace, reconciliation and forgiveness, when I feel very far from that myself." What had estranged her from one of the most fundamental tenets of the Christian faith is the killing of her daughter, Jenny. The 24-year-old, a gifted musician, died in one of the four terrorist bomb explosions in London on 7th of July, 2005. Who could blame her for a lack of forgiveness? Certainly not another lady by the name of G. Walker, whose 18-year-old son, Anthony, was killed in a racist attack in Liverpool just days after Jenny Nicholson was blown apart at Edgware Road. Yet when two youths were accused of the killing of her son, Mrs. Walker announced and astonished to the nation by announcing that she had forgiven the murderers. She gave an interview in which she elaborated that she feels no hate for them whatsoever. And indeed, she wanted to find out what lay behind the hate which had led them to kill her son. She said, "I just feel like, what's missing from their lives? Why is there so much hate? I know it's strange, but it's true. I'd love to do the motherly thing and sit them down and find out why. But as for hate, I have none. I just feel sadness." When forgiveness comes, something is transformed in such moments. In the soul of society and of the person who forgives, something happens. And G. Walker understood the personal dimension of that. Why live a life sentence? Hate had killed her son. So why should I be a victim too? Unforgiveness makes you a victim. And why, as she said, should I be a victim also? But sometimes we can doubt that God can work in the situation that we face. And we can doubt that forgiveness is even possible. And we can doubt like Thomas did. And we can say, unless I see it for myself, unless I see with my own eyes. Because when he was approached by his friends with this fantastic, unprecedented news that their dead master was now alive, he had risen. Thomas replies with honest doubt, friends, unless I see those scars for myself, where the nails went in, unless I put my finger on those scars, I don't believe it. I can't believe it. And I think we, over the years, we've given Thomas a really hard time by giving him the name of Doubting Thomas and using his name when we see other people who face doubts. Oh, you're a real Doubting Thomas. When in reality, as we looked in that passage, so many of the other disciples had locked themselves away and had faced the doubts as well. And we often look at him as if he was a failure in faith. And yet, so often, whether we admit it to ourselves or not, in many of us who are so faithful, there exist those times where we too are a bit of a doubting Thomas. We don't understand what's going on, and we start to doubt. We doubt that God cares for or even loves us for who we are. We can doubt our salvation. Am I really saved by God? We doubt that the resurrection took place. We doubt the very existence of God because we can't see where he is or what he's doing in the situation we're in. We don't deny any of these. For if we made a flat denial, we probably would not be here this morning. We'd probably be sat at home, reading our newspapers and having a late breakfast. We don't deny, but we doubt. And we may doubt that God can forgive us, or that God can give us the strength to forgive others. Or that we could doubt that God would even want to use us in our situation, or doubt that God would even want to work in our own lives. And we doubt that we can even let go of the pain, of the hurt, of the suffering, of the anguish, because it might cost us too much. And what if God doesn't turn up? What if? And fear starts to creep in to that place in our hearts where his peace should be. What is it that locks you in this morning? What is it that stops you knowing the peace of Jesus is with you? What is it that might be stopping you from moving on? Is there an issue of forgiveness or doubt that stands between you and the risen Jesus, who wants you to know his peace and his presence with you right here in this moment today? Jesus wants you to know his peace with you. It might be forgiveness for yourself, or knowing that there is someone that you need to forgive, something you need to let go of and place at the foot of the cross. Max Lucado, an author and preacher, said this, and if you remember nothing else, remember this. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing you were the prisoner. You can know the forgiveness, the presence, the peace, and the power of the risen Jesus today by simply coming to him, by simply offering forgiveness to someone else who has hurt you in the past, by simply allowing his Holy Spirit to be at work in you, because he can do immeasurably more than you can ask or imagine if you're willing to let him in, if you're willing to let him speak to you this morning. Let's pray. Lord, we just remember this morning those words that you said as you appeared to the disciples. That in the midst of their fear and their anguish and their confusion, you came in and you said, "Peace be with you." And Lord, you know where we are in our hearts today. Lord, I pray for each and every one of us by your Holy Spirit, you would be speaking those words into our hearts. Peace be with you. Help us, Lord, to let go. Help us, Lord, to move on with you. Help us, Lord, where we are streak, that you are strong. Lord, help us not to be prisoners to the pain and the suffering that we may be facing, but that we will be examples of your forgiveness, your love, and your peace to those around us. That you can do immeasurably more than we could ever ask or imagine. That each and every day we would know your presence with us. Amen.